Outdoor with Ali Moore on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Well, John Setka is the secretary of the CFMEU and he joins us now. John Setka, good morning.
Good morning.
So who were the people demonstrating yesterday?
Look, there was a small part of our membership there, but the vast majority were people, I wouldn't even know who they are. I think it's safe to say professional protesters, not even from the building industry. Some of the same ones you would have seen last Saturday fighting with the police. So the vast majority of them, anti-vaxxers.
So the ones that were hurling abuse at you and calling you Dan's bitch, did you know them? Did you recognise any faces?
No, I recognised a few faces, but the majority of them, I didn't even know who they were. I've never seen them before in my life. They weren't construction workers. There was a small contingent of construction workers, and I wanted to address the construction workers and see if new members that were there. And then then all these others just start yelling and screaming over the top of it. Yeah, it's just you couldn't get a word in. I try to keep it calm. The main thing was to find out what their problem was. Well, like what had we done that was so offensive to these people?
So when you have been speaking to your members, I mean, I suppose I have two questions. One, what are the issues? I mean, at least until yesterday, the industry could operate. And the second thing is, I guess, why is the union so vulnerable to being infiltrated, it would seem, and certainly that's the allegation, by extreme groups?
Well, it's a very good question. I mean, I don't know. I mean, these people are probably looking for a rallying point, and they've decided to come to the CFMEU office. There's a small band of CFMEU members there, and if anyone's got a right, they've got a right to go. If they want to protest, they've got channels to go and protest and lodge and see us, and we'll sit down and meet with them anytime, any concerns they have. But all these other people that are not even from our industry, not union members, I mean, we don't pander to them. We don't want to, we'll discuss with our members their concerns, but not to these professional protesters. And then you throw alcohol in the mix and you've got a powder keg there going. And that's exactly what happened.
So let's go back to your members. Do you agree in just the smattering of texts and calls that we've already had this morning, do you agree the industry has brought this on yourselves? Because you clearly knew the risk of a shutdown because you warned the demonstrators yesterday, and compliance has been a well-flagged issue by the authorities.
Well, I disagree with the compliance. Our industry is a big industry. We control the commercial sector, right? And we've got the housing sector, we've got the reno sector. So you can't throw everything into the one basket. We, as a commercial industry, have kept our industry pretty safe. We've got so many countermeasures in place. They call it world's best practice. You know, mandatory temperature testing, turnstiles, contact herald tracing systems. All our delegates and HSRs have all been trained to contact trace. They've been trained in infectious disease training. They've got it all, and that's why we have had hardly any outbreaks on any large commercial construction sites.
But there has been transmission, and there has been transmission from city sites to regional areas, as the government has painted the picture. And certainly virtually everyone who's texted into this program says they've never walked past a building site where they've seen compliance. I mean, how many sites have you walked past where every single person operating is wearing a mask?
Look. There's a lot of people wearing masks, but you've got to take this into perspective. When people are walking past a site and there's people out the front, there is sometimes people, they're having a cup of coffee and a cigarette. Now, it's very hard to have a cup of coffee and a cigarette when you're wearing a mask. So people then take a photo of them and they say, look at that construction worker not wearing a mask. There's a bit of a jealousy element here that we've kept working during this whole pandemic. And I understand there's people suffering and people are probably wondering why have they kept working while we've all been shut down and sitting at home since April last year. And I get that. I get that frustration. But, you know, you've got to be sort of sensible. I mean, we've got over 300,000 people in our industry. We cannot police every single thing. There's always going to be people that are going to take little shortcuts and not do the right thing. It's just the way it is. But you can always do something better. As far as we can see, we've got world's best practice. There's a lot of sites where we've got so many countermeasures in place where there has been, for example, an engineer has come on site that has been at that famous MCG incident. And rather than shut down 600 people on that site, we're able to contact trace and find out exactly where the close contacts were And it probably required, say, a dozen people having to isolate, and it was all contained, and it was all 100% safe. So we have the capability to do it all safely, and we've proved we can. There is other parts of the industry that probably aren't doing it as safely as they should be. And I can see that, but we don't control the whole industry. You know, we control the large commercial sites, but we don't control every single building site out there.
And are you backing mandatory vaccinations? First dose has to be had to return to work by this Thursday. I suppose that's a moot point now that the industry shut down for 2 weeks. I guess you've got now 2 weeks to get your first dose. But do you back the mandatory vax?
We have never backed the mandatory vax. What we have always said is we are pro-vaxing. We're running radio ads encouraging our members to go see your GP if you've got any concerns and get vaccinated, because as far as we're concerned, we reckon it's the only roadmap out of this. But at the same time, we've got to respect the rights of people who actually have a genuine concern because of all the misinformation that's been going around. There's a lot of, you know, like I've said, there's about 9 million professors out there that all of a sudden become experts in vaccine and in infectious and viruses. So what I'm saying is there is some people that have got a genuine concern. You've got to respect that. And rather than sort of force people to be vaccinated, we should take them on a journey, have the conversations with them, and try and convince them. And I mean, that's what we've always said.
John Setke, I mean, a couple of things around that. One is that, you know, we've had a fair amount of time to have that conversation now, but if you're not backing mandatory vaccinations, are you backing the right of employers to not have people on their work sites who are not vaccinated? So you can choose to not be vaccinated, but on the other side, the employer can choose not to hire you.
Well, that's going to be probably another battle that we have. But the bottom line is
But why is that a battle? Why do you not accept that?
Because if you've got a person that's actually got a genuine health reason that they can't get vaccinated...
Sure, and that's I'm accepting that. If there's a genuine health reason for not being vaccinated, that's different. If it's just because you don't want to be vaccinated or you've got some concerns that haven't been alleviated, there is no genuine medical reason. Do you support the right of employers to ban those people from their work sites?
Well, I think banning people from their work sites, I think that's very harsh, to be quite honest. And we've said that all along.
If they're going to be put all your other members in danger if they won't get vaccinated or potentially take the virus home to their families?
Because one of the reasons is because these people obviously have a genuine fear from being vaccinated. And we've got to respect that fear. You can't just say, well, we haven't got that fear, so we don't care what they think. If they've got a genuine fear, we do have to respect that. You can't just say, well, we don't care about your fear. Just go get the needle or otherwise you haven't got a job. I mean, I think that's a bit unfair. I think let's try and educate them. Let's take them along the journey. Let's alleviate their fears. And then after that, if they then sort of say, well, you know what, I don't care. I'm still not going to get jabbed. Well, then that's another story.
So how long does that journey last, John Setke?
Well, as long as it takes. I don't like people being forced to do anything. I'd like to bring people along. No one likes having a gun held to their head.
A quick question. There is another flyer, of course, during the rounds for another protest today, and people are being urged to wear work gear, which clearly means that, you know, they're going to portray themselves as something they're potentially not. Have you heard anything? Are you concerned about more protests today?
I have. And look, of course I'm concerned, because, you know, I mean, it's just after seeing the scene yesterday, the drunken morons throwing stubbies and bottles at people and causing injuries and damage to union property. I mean, that's union members' property. And for these drunken morons who are not even union members to do that, it is just, for me, just unforgivable. You don't act like that.
John Setke, a final question. Just on the Premier, you did tell the demonstrators yesterday you'd never met Dan Andrews. Is that right? Your union does give substantial funds to the Labor Party. Have you never met the boss?
I have never, ever met Daniel Andrews. I have never, ever spoken to Daniel Andrews.
Does that surprise you like it surprises us?
Well, can I tell you, I if I've got to deal with politicians, I'll deal with politicians. I mean, for the benefit of the union members, I mean, the people that pay my wages are the union members, and that's who we're beholden to, because they pay our wages and they are our bosses. There's some unions out there that sort of probably pander to politicians because they all want to be the next politicians themselves. We generally don't. We're pretty independent.
You go. But thank you for clarifying that. And thank you very much for your time this morning. And it's obviously something that we will be watching, and your members will be watching with interest to see whether you can get out of this closure sooner rather than later.